As you take a seat this morning, and thank you to the worship team leading this morning. As you take a seat this morning, make sure that you open your Bibles. I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 12. You should also have your finger over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These two chapters are pretty significant for what we're talking about as we talk about spiritual gifts. But let's begin our time in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3 and going all the way through verse 8. I just sound a touch hot in the mic, and I'm afraid that if I yell, which I always do, I will blow people out. Thanks. In honor of God's word, and just in a position of receptivity, would you please stand to receive these words from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is God's word for us today. From his mouth to your heart, you may be seated. I loved Scott Triggett was out of town this week. And I found out just from the order of service, that our brother Cameron was going to be, praying this morning. And so I had a little interaction with him, but not about the content about what we would be talking about. And I thought it was so interesting that as Scott is singing, he's talking a little bit about that Trinitarian, kind of perspective that is shared not only right here in the passage that I just read, but also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then this morning Cameron reads what? Ephesians chapter 1, that unbelievable section that starts in verse 3 and goes, I think, all the way through about verse 18, that talks about who we are, our identity in Christ. And it starts with the Father appointing or choosing you, the Son redeeming you, and the Spirit sealing and holding on to you. What a beautiful picture of what God does in our salvation, and what a wondrous connection to what we're talking about this morning. I tell you all the time, you have no idea how God knits things together, and how our church services are such a beautiful moment of the Holy Spirit at work, despite the fact that we didn't have a lot of interaction about these themes. You've already heard these themes described to you this morning. We're talking again about spiritual gifts. We will be located in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but I wanted to read you a little bit of the parallel passage from Romans chapter 12. There's another parallel passage that we'll get to in Ephesians chapter 4 eventually. These verses are probably the three sections, the three, what I would call the quintessential places that giftedness, that the Spirit brings gifts to us to give to us, those gifts are provided because of the redemption of Christ and because of God's choosing in our life, which is why every single time those spiritual gifts are mentioned in the Bible, they're always mentioned in relation to God has chosen you, Jesus has redeemed you, the Spirit is holding on to you and empowering you for who you are and what you do in this world. And he has provided you with gifts, special spiritual empowerment that he has given to you. But many of us treat this giftedness in one of two ways. One way that we treat it is to say, I don't really feel all that gifted. I don't really know what my gifts are, and I don't feel super gifted. And even if I do have a spiritual gift, I don't really, there's other people that have got the time and the ability to use their gifts. I'm not really into it. Or you respond the other way. I've got so many spiritual gifts, and I am going to exert all of these spiritual gifts as often as I can on as many people as I can. And you just blow people away with all of the potential gifts that, at least in your own perception, you think, I just must have all of these things. How do you back up from either one of those things and receive? How do you receive a gift? How do you receive a gift that is precious from somebody? Like, when you think of gift giving and gift receiving, you probably are thinking just a couple of months out in front of us. Christmas time, right? That's when we do a lot of gift giving, and that's when we've seen a lot of gift receiving. Here's a good example on the screen of both gift giving from parents and gift giving being received by a daughter. Let's take a look.
Taylor, come here.
What?
Hey,
Mom.
Hello?
What?
Oh, my God! Taylor, come get him! Tell him to come here. He's been in the car with me. Where are you going, buddy? Taylor, come get him. He just wants mama.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
All right, I'm going to listen. You keep
going. Taylor, what do you think? Merry Christmas!
I've just ruined a lot of relationships in the room, I'm sure, because there's going to be a lot of people that are like, I want a dog, and the other person's like, I don't want a dog, and they're like, you're going to, you know, kids are like, Mom, Dad, you never given us a dog, all that kind of thing. But I just was struck by how powerfully emotional it was for that young girl to receive such an overwhelming gift. I've watched the gift of relationship. I don't know if you've ever watched videos of military men and women coming home from their deployments. That'll kill you. Like, I just got tears streaming down my face when I watched that kind of thing. It's the returned gift of relationship that comes to us. And this is an example of someone giving a gift and then receiving that gift with just the greatest enthusiasm. And I just want to challenge you. God has provided you with a gift that is to be received and not just analyzed, not just discussed, not just talked about, like, oh, I'm going to observe it from a distance and I'm going to try to psych it out and try to understand it before I really take it in my hands, but a gift like you'd receive at Christmas, a gift not deserved but given. It's a gift of grace. In other words, you didn't do anything to earn the gift. God is delighted to give it to you. Oftentimes our reception of gifts is with great caution. It's with great, I don't understand, I need to really kind of write this all out and understand it a little bit better. Nothing wrong with that, but I want to remind you that God, the God of the universe, is providing you with gifts. And we should respond with just such a heart that is grateful and is filled with joy at what God has to give to us. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the Corinthians, felt that this was so important that he wrote similar things to the church at Ephesus. He also wrote similar things to the church in Rome. It was a crucial issue. I don't know if you realize this, but Romans and Corinth and Ephesus are pivotal New Testament churches. They were in crucial locations in the ancient world. Probably three of the most important churches that existed in the ancient world. And at each one, what does Paul say? God loves you and has chosen you. Jesus Christ has redeemed you. The Holy Spirit holds onto you and seals you. And the Holy Spirit is giving you gifts that come from God because of Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? We should respond with great joy, and we should get to use those gifts with great joy. You think that girl just takes her puppy into her room and doesn't tell her friends? Do you think she just hides the dog from the rest of the family for the duration of its life? No. These things become part of us. They become part of our lives. The reason that Paul is speaking to the Corinthians about spiritual giftedness is because they put too much emphasis on certain gifts and not enough emphasis on other gifts. And so he gives them a really big list that exists here of the different gifts. And he wants to emphasize that it comes from this wonderful diversity that we see in the person of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That from that wondrous revelation, this is how God has revealed himself to mankind. As God the Father, as God the Son, as God the Holy Spirit. I like to think of it as God commands and chooses and gives all of that, thus saith the Lord, that's in the Bible. And Jesus does everything that the Father commands. And does it faithfully and perfectly. And the Holy Spirit brings life and power and breath to all of God's creation, to all that Jesus has done. Our faith is in Jesus. We are provided with the Spirit, and it gives us relationship with God. It is wondrous and it is beautiful, and there is relationship in the Trinity that is so extraordinary, and it is being shared with you. That's the emphasis. Every time the gifts are mentioned, God, Son, and Holy Spirit are all, you know, collectively mentioned as well. All of this is being shared. The whole of God's revelation actively involved in giving you spiritual, powerful, and effective gifts. I wonder if this is how God shows his love to us. If many of us are missing out on God's love, many of us don't really feel like the love of God actively in our lives. Because we don't know our gifts, we don't use our gifts, we don't care about our gifts. I used to laugh when my kids were little. We'd give them gifts. We'd give it to them in these, you know, Amazon boxes wrapped up. And then our kids would play with the Amazon box more than they play with the gift. I mean, you remember that? When you have little kids? Have you ever seen that? Where they're much more interested in the wrapping paper than they are with the thing that you bought them? I wonder if as adults we're, I don't know, we're more interested in the things that kind of fascinate us, that we want to discuss, that we want to analyze, that we want to pick apart, than we are about the gift itself. May it never be. May it never be said of us. Paul feels that these things are so important. He lists them a few times. If you can turn quickly over to it, Ephesians chapter 4 gives us a good picture of what Paul says to the church at Ephesus, one of the most important churches in the New Testament. He says in chapter 4, I'm just going to start right from the beginning of the chapter, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, so he's in jail at the time that he's writing this, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called. with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's just pause here. What's his emphasis? It's the same emphasis that he tells the church in Corinth. It's the same emphasis that he tells the church in Rome. God has given you these things to show his diversity, but to bring you together in unity. If you don't work together as a body, the body is going to start to betray itself. The hand decides it's going to do something different than the other hand. The eyes decide they're going to look elsewhere. The ears are not going to listen to what they're supposed to. The feet do not carry you in the right direction. Imagine if your body betrayed you and just went a bunch of different directions. Paul says that's not what the body's for. The body is supposed to work together as one. And he emphasizes this in Ephesians by giving us seven ones. Now the number seven in the Bible is significant. It usually means something that is complete or something that is whole. And so listen to this. Listen to the Trinitarian, again, nature, beginning in verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The fullness of God expressed. But grace, these grace gifts, was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. After he died and was resurrected, he goes back to heaven with victory. Just riding that train of victory. And he has given gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth. That just means he came from heaven to earth. This is his description of it. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill and fulfill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in what? Love. What's the next thing that we'll talk about after we talk a little bit about spiritual giftedness in 1 Corinthians? Probably one of the most beautiful chapters in all of Scripture. The love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Why? Because when the body functions in her giftedness, what happens? We experience the love of God. We experience love with each other. We experience the purpose that this church exists on earth. To love God, to love others, and to serve the world. That everything you've been given has been given to you to give away. Not to hoard, not to keep, but to give away. In Ephesians 4, we just read about some of the offices that God gives to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Back in Romans 12, we read about prophecy and service and teaching, exhortation, generosity, leadership, mercy. I'm rolling through these because I've given you a really meaty insert with all of these described and written out for you. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge from 1 Corinthians 12. Prophecy, healing, miracles, tongues, the interpretation of tongues, administration, miracles. I'm looking down at my list and the distinguishing of spirits, the ability to discern those things that come from the Lord versus those things that do not. All of these are given to the church as gifts. Isn't it interesting that virtually none of the lists match one another? Why do you think that is? Why do you think Paul writes to all of these churches and he gives them different lists? You should talk about that at lunch. You should figure that out because it's super important. In fact, I would say that even though it doesn't fit with what I'm talking about today, it's crucially important for us to understand why does he give all of these lists? What is he trying to say? Because when Paul wrote these letters, he didn't think they'd all be compiled like this for us. Which means if God is the author of the scriptures, which I believe that he truly is, you can read 1 Peter 1 about all that. But if God is the author of the scriptures and he has preserved these words for us, it means that he is trying to show us something about who he is. And he has preserved those letters on our behalf. And so us understanding this, the adaptability that it seems the Spirit has in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4, and the differences between these things, that seems kind of important. Why is it there? And probably in a more practical way, if you're asking yourself, why are we talking about this? What is significant about this? My biggest question to you is, do you know what your gifts are and are you using them? Are you using them in the church? Some of you are a little bit older. You come from a generation that is the generation that is above me, a little bit older in age. And some of you have said in the past, I used my gifts when I was younger. It's now the younger generation's turn to use my gifts. And it's as though you have retired from using your spiritual gift. I just want you to know there's really nothing in the scriptures that says you retire from your spiritual gifts. Now, it may have to adapt to the stage of life that you're at. I'm not saying that you should, you know, go in and work with, like, the Sparkies at Awana because, you know, they might eat you or something, trying to keep up with them and that kind of thing. But it does mean that you should continue to use your spiritual giftedness in the church. How do you develop and grow? That's what Paul says to Timothy, his anointed and appointed preacher in Ephesus. He says, I want you to develop the spiritual gift that you were given. When the hands were laid on you to commission you for ministry, the gifting that God had given to you, I want you to keep developing that and growing in that. What are you doing to grow in that? Younger generation, those of you that are younger than I am, that are coming up, what are you doing to discover, to know, and to develop and to grow in your spiritual gifts? What are you doing to say, you know what, I see where my spiritual gifts could be used, and this church just doesn't have that gifting. They don't have a place for me to serve. Fantastic. Do you realize God equipped you with that gift so that would develop the ministry of this church? Not a one of us should be sitting back, including the generation that I am in, that says, I already know what's going on. I got my comfort zone. Don't bug me. What can we do to continue to discover and develop in our spiritual gifts? I give you a few pages there of all of the descriptions of the spiritual gifts that are listed in Scripture. It is a very short listing, really. There's a couple in there that some of you are not, especially if you're young and single, do not want to be praying for. Like you're like, could I get married before martyrdom comes to me? And could I not get the spiritual gift of singleness? And that kind of thing. I remember thinking those things when I was a young person. And I do get that when you just pray to the Lord, Lord, whatever you want to do, whatever you want with my life. That can feel a little bit scary when you're younger. But could I call on you to take a step away from the culture that we live in and take a step toward the culture that Christ is trying to grow in you? Can I call on you to step away from just being bound by the world that we're in and step into a place where you say, God, what do you have for gifting me to redeem the world that I'm living in? Step into places that you have not stepped into before. In my world, that's pushing up against leadership constantly and telling them to get out of the way because this is what God wants for us and we need to just knock over the gates of hell to get there. That's how I feel. That's how I feel in my soul. I feel passionate. I feel insane sometimes because I want this so desperately. And I wonder, is this what gifting is doing to you? Does it get inside of you and burn inside of you like a hot coal? Because the way that Paul talks about it, man, it just, God's given you a great gift. And are you delighting in what He has given to you? Do you feel His love because of it? Are you so excited to share it with other people? This is the effect that a gift like this should have upon us. Because developing in your gifts produces a more complete experience of God's love. You experience His calling more clearly. You experience His sacrifice more abundantly in your life because you need it. And you know what? You experience His power. Something that I think because we are so word-oriented in our church, we are so sometimes theologically oriented and organized that sometimes we squeeze the Spirit out and bury it under a million words. So rather than do that, I just want to call you to something. I've given you a summary of gifts that are there. I really did this just because I wanted some sort of way of communicating all of these different gifts to you without having to speak on every single one of them. Because you would be bored and I would just be teaching a class at that point. But I want you to go to the end. Are you interested in learning about your spiritual gifts? I hope the answer for every person here is yes. I hope that you are genuinely interested. I don't care if you've done this 100 times, but there's something out there called a spiritual gift inventory. And I give you a link to it on the internet. I've got a link there in the middle of the page. Those of you that are watching online, you can just download the worship guide and you can just connect right to it through the worship guide. For those of you that are here, you can type this in to your browser. This inventory has got, let me just say two things. Hold on that, just 1 second. Wait, thank you. This inventory, I just want to note two things. One, if you've never really considered, God, how have you gifted me? This is a good starting point. There's first. Two, this is based on your perception of yourself. Which, at least for me, for myself, is not very accurate all the time. Sometimes I think I'm awesome. And I take a spiritual gift inventory and I'm like, look at that. I am awesome. There are other times I take a spiritual gift inventory and you know how I'm feeling about myself? Really, really cruddy. And so I take the spiritual gift inventory because, you know, it's yourself, it's perception of yourself. And it kind of hammers me down into a different, you know, a different place. So it's really important. It's really important that when you do this, one, try to be in a place where you're thinking realistically about life. But two, just know this is based on your own perception and it should be cross-checked by other believers and by spiritual leaders in your life. Like as you begin to stretch into these things, you might go, you know, I've heard a lot of young people going to college say this. I thought I wanted to be in elementary education and then they put me in a classroom and I found out I hate kids. And so I decided I was going to do something else. Perfect. Like that's part of developing, right? It's part of working it out. That's okay. Don't feel like you're locked in. But by going to this website, it allows us as a church, we get to collect all of these. Now you can flash that on the screen. When you go to this link, this is the window that's going to come up. It's going to have our group ID, 902613. You can write that down if you really want to, but it'll pop up automatically with that link. And it'll allow you at this page to connect to a spiritual gift inventory. Now, just because it says you have the spiritual gift of fill in the blank, I don't want you to feel locked in on that. I don't want you to feel like, I'm trapped. However, it probably shows a lot of tendency toward that gift and towards those strengths in your life. And it will collect all of these inventories at our church. It'll collect all of them under Long Beach Alliance Church, which it should say at the top of the page. It'll collect all of those inventories together. And I'm the only one that can see them, but it'll allow me to see the gift trends of our church. That's really helpful for me as a leader because it kind of gives indication of what the Spirit of God is doing in our midst. But what it means is, even those of you that already know what your spiritual gifts are and you just feel like, I've read this chapter 1,000 times, you don't need to read this to me anymore, can we move on to the next section? I'd really like to talk about love. All that kind of stuff. I even want you to take this inventory. I took this inventory. I want all of us to take this inventory because I always think it's good for us to see in the bigger picture. What is God doing? What is God leading us towards? What does He want us to grow in? My deepest desire is that you would be like that little girl getting a puppy for Christmas, that you would be overwhelmed, that would drive you to tears, that God loves you so much, that He's given you gifts that are meant to show who He is to the world that is around you. I hope you receive them with great joy and just are receptive to any gift that God wants to use in your life. And in the process of this, that we as a church would learn where God is leading more and more accurately, spiritually speaking. That we would really depend on the Lord spiritually, not just in our logic, not just in our intelligence, but in true, Lord, what do you want to do that is spiritually significant for this church, for my family, for the world that is around me? What are you doing? Where are you leading? Thirst for these things. My sweet and beloved family, thirst for what God is doing in our midst and in your life. And let's be delighted as He walks us forward, as He teaches us more and more about gifting, as He leads us into power, as He leads us into His service and sacrifice for each other as Christ, as He leads us into living according to our calling that God has chosen you to be part of His family. Amen and amen. Father God, I pray that as we consider these things, as we have action steps for these things, God, as we are called to dig in and dig deeper, that Father, you would work out in our lives, God, not just our perception of ourselves, but that God, you would expand our perception of what you are doing, that we would seek to see things in spiritual terms, not just what we can see, touch, feel, smell. God, not just using our human senses, but using the spiritual senses that you have provided to us. God, I pray that the work of Long Beach Alliance would truly be spiritually significant, that would raise up your name, and that God, your calling, your sacrifice, your love, and your power would be manifest, displayed, experienced in the midst of this church family. I pray these things over this family. God, I pray these things for this family. And God, I pray them as part of this family. Earnestly. God, by your Spirit, hear these prayers. In the name of Christ, amen. Let's stand and respond to him this morning.